now, loves. So let's look a little more closely at the addiction to suffering. I don't know about you, but when I realized that I was engaged in an addiction to my suffering, it came as quite a bit of a shock. Here's this thing that we hate, that we want nothing more than to be free of. And then to realize, oh my God, I'm hooked. I'm hooked on this. I'm getting off on it. I keep returning to it. I can't seem to get enough of this. All signs of addiction. In fact, the very story of I hate this, I don't want this, I would never want this, is actually a suffering, right? It's another manifestation of the very same suffering that we are addicted to. This very story of hating it and not wanting it and wanting to be rid of it and free of it. And why are we being plagued by it? And it's always here, and I'm a victim of it, and all those ways, right? So in order to look at this addiction to suffering, what we have to see is that in an addiction to suffering, there is always an attachment to the story of the suffering. Suffering in the way that I'm talking about it, this unnecessary suffering, is always about a story. And in that story, there is, or I should say, alongside that story, there is a belief that it is real. That's part of the hook. That's part of where we are ensnared by it. Not only are we attached to this story and do we tell ourselves this story, but we also believe that this story is real. And in this story, there are characters. Usually we are one of the characters, and sometimes there are other people who are characters in our story of suffering. Sometimes there's an event that is a character in the story of our suffering, or a circumstance or a phenomena, some experience perhaps of a way that we are being caused this suffering, right? And we believe that it's real. There's a deep familiarity in this. And we'll often find ourselves telling the story, at least to ourselves, but sometimes to other people too, the story of our suffering, the story of the problem. And it can feel very real and tragic and terrible and hard. And I don't mean to actually minimize the pain that can accompany this story of suffering. It can be a tremendous amount of pain. So we have to see, though, if we are hooked on it, why? What do we receive from it? What are we getting from this story of suffering? Why do we keep returning to it? Why can we not get enough of it, even when we're miserable in it? Why? Well, I invite you to inquire. This is a great inquiry for you. What I could throw out there as some possibilities is that this story of suffering in some way essentially validates our existence, right? The story of our suffering that includes this primary character of me and my suffering, me and my pain, validates our own experience. It gives us substance. It gives our sense of being a victim in some way, a victim to an experience that happened, a victim to the pain itself, a victim to some sense of hopelessness about the future. It gives that victim sense some kind of substance, this story that we tell. It might validate our stance that we are right, right? Or that we are flawed, that we are terrible, or that we are lovable. Perhaps there's a telling of this story of suffering because in some way we believe that it makes us more lovable, that it might inspire empathy or compassion or sympathy or attention. There's all sorts of potential reasons why we might return to it and return to it. It's good to really check this out. But the story of suffering doesn't work, just like every other addiction. It doesn't get us what we truly want. It's a self-betrayal. So we have to see the big addiction is to the story. We have to see where we are attached to it, where we have a position of, no, it's my story of suffering is real. It's true. What's essential is to find the willingness to put the story down and to not pick it back up in another form, right? Some other form of punishing ourselves or punishing somebody else. Finally, we have to be left alone with nothing but the mirror of our own mind, nothing but the reflection of our own insanity, of our own addiction to telling and retelling ourselves this story of our suffering. It can be terrifying to be left alone with that and to see it, to not be able to escape it. But this is what's required in order to sober up around it, to actually see that the substance of it is nothing, that it's made of nothing, that it's make-believe, that it's a made-up story. Yes, perhaps we've had experiences that gave rise to this story, that our story is the culmination of many real experiences that we've had. But at what cost do we continue to tell the story? And at what gain do we continue to tell the story? This is really a ruthless self-honesty that's required around seeing this addiction to suffering. You have to want freedom more than your story. You have to want peace more than your attachment to your story of suffering. It's ruthless. You have to choose. You don't get to have both. I'm sorry. You have to want to come home to fully loving yourself more than you want the story of suffering. The story is an indulgence. It's time to put it down. And if you're like me, you'll be putting it down and down and down and down. But it becomes a little bit faster. It's a little bit quicker. It's a little more efficient. It's like you can get the little bit of that flavor or that tone of the story of suffering. And you just nip it in the bud. Enough. Nope. Return to what's free of it. Choose that. Choose yourself. Choose emptiness. Choose presence. It can be very helpful to track the narrative of the story of suffering so that you can actually see what's the first sentence that starts your story of suffering. And there's probably more than one sentence. So it's great to identify all of them. What are the sentences that begin the trance, that begin the story, right? Like one of my stories of suffering has been, it's all on me. It's all on me. It's always been all on me. Why do I have to hold it all, right? So pathetic when I say it out loud. But this has been a really big trance of suffering in my life that's confirmed from, you know, being the firstborn child and having two little sisters and kind of young, crazy parents who were neurotically fixated. And so I had to raise my sisters and then eventually became the single mother and the sole provider of my kids. It's all on me. It's all on me. It's like, what does that story of suffering serve? But so important to just actually, in a neutral way, see, do you see my little sentence? See the sentence that begins the trance. So that when that arises, it's like, ding, oh, story of suffering, alert. What's another story of suffering sentence that I have? Oh, I know another one that has been a pattern for me. It's that feeling of, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not capable. I'm not competent enough. I'm ill-equipped. I'm inadequate. I'm not made out for this world, or I'm not cut out for this world, right? So, and it usually the sentence that then becomes a paragraph, that then becomes a saga, has a certain flavor. It has a flavor that's very familiar. And in some way, it's like a security blanket. It's like, oh, good, that story. I know that one. So identify the stories of suffering so that you can lay them down, so that you can choose what you want, so that you can choose freedom. Freedom from the addiction to suffering. I love you.